Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke weed every day. Pick up a copy around Vancouver or fuck with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
When you join Balloon Club, we guarantee that you will be able to make a balloon poodle within the first day.
Here at the UBC Ant Club, we just like to talk about ants and compare ant farms. It's really cool.
Paperclip Club is all about, well, paperclips mostly.
At Blah Club, you can blah blah, blah 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 blah.
Explosion.
There's only one club worth joining at UBC, and that's CITR 101.9 FM. We got free tickets to shows, whirly pops, professional help in all types of audio engineering, passes to festivals, crazy parties, live band swag. All types of crazy people. Our programming manager rides a motorcycle. There's freestyle rapping, Nardwar the Human Serviette, the vinyl and record libraries, Discorder magazine, free studio recording, and it sure beats the hell out of Paperclip Club, which is a thing that I just made up because I work at
CITR.
So come check us out on the floor of the Student Union Building. We got all types of crazy shit for you to do. Or check us out online at www.citr.ca.
Hempology 101 is a student-run organization here to educate the public about the benefits of hemp and cannabis. Fast fact! Hemp is a renewable, sustainable source of food and fiber. Fast fact! Your body contains anandamide, which is part of the same family of substances as THC. To learn more, look us up on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/hempology101UBC, or come to one of our great events. And don't forget, legalization through education.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theater, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the CITR 101.9 FM from unceded Musqueam territory at UBC Vancouver. My name is Simon Welton, and coming up in the next half hour is, as always, the White Noise Show. It's a half hour of sketch comedy followed by the White Noise After Show, which is a mixture of debate and wicked music. So stay tuned for both of those. Joining me in the studio right now are my co-hosts Connor Neckelput and Sierra Wiley. How are you guys doing?
Quite good, especially now that we've been promoted to co-host.
Yeah,
no,
that's like a step in the right direction.
It was unspoken, but you know, I just thought I'd throw it out.
I suppose it was unspoken because previously it had been spoken that I was the little special friend, and Sierra, I'm not sure what yours.
I was just saying
exactly.
Words to wind you up before.
Yeah, so that it had been spoken that I was definitely not the co-host, just the the sidekick.
Something to put on your resume, Robin.
So yes, we've got a jam-packed show today, so without further ado, it is time for some White Noise.
Warning, the following programming may not be suitable for anyone. Listener discretion is advised.
Good evening, and welcome to another episode of White Noise! I'm your host, Richard Blackmore, and tonight's episode is brought to you in part by Bikram Yoga. Yoga, where you can smell the person next to you. First up tonight, someone isn't happy.
Look, she's doing my head in all day. She's sitting there with her pens and her pencils and her pencil sharpener and her eraser and her...
Oh, get on with it.
She's too caught. It's very distracting.
Okay, so what do you want me to do about that?
Fire her.
For being hot?
Yes, or for all the smiling. Just get rid of her.
I can't just fire someone for being attractive. I could hire them for that.
Please, as a favor to me.
I'm sorry, Dan. I have to side with her on this one.
Why?
Because she's hot.
Come on, that is sexism.
No, it's the opposite of that.
Then it's you being a dick.
Do you think that this is helping?
Look, the truth is, she's sexually harassing me.
No, she isn't.
It's possible.
It really isn't.
Fine, then I quit.
No, you don't.
Then I want to transfer.
We only have one office.
Then I'm going to kill myself.
Good. I've got you in the pool.
Then I'm going to kill her.
Well, don't do it in the office. You have no idea how much paperwork I'd have to do.
Maybe I'll just kill you.
Don't threaten me, Dan. I was in the Hell's Angels. The musical.
I can't go back out there. She is driving me insane.
Why does her being hot bother you so damn much?
I'm just jealous of her tits, okay?
Wait, as in you want to be near them or you want to have them yourself?
I'm not 100% sure.
And I'm not sure what the hell that was. Next up tonight, Dick Wireless is back.
What to do? Ooh, what's this in the drawer? Ooh, a cigar. Nice. Oh, no, it's a poo. Who put that there? Mum? Good afternoon, Dick Shartless. Whiteness. Whiteless. Silly me. Hello? Hello? Oh, bollocks. What to do? Oh, right, a cigar. Oh, bugger. Oh, now it's all on my hand. Oh, just a minute. Where are the serviettes? Where are the bloody serviettes? Come in.
Mr. Whiteless?
At your service. And you are?
Mr. Polychronopoulos.
That's a fancy name.
Yeah, my high school class voted me most likely to have his name spelt wrong on a Starbucks cup. By the way, you have some chocolate on your face.
I haven't eaten chocolate in... Oh, God, no! Where are the wet wipes? Nothing to be alarmed about, Mr. Polly, sir.
Was that shit?
No, it was, Nutella.
Smelt like shit.
You need some help?
Right, yes. Well, my daughter has been missing for 2 days, and I think I know where she is, but the police won't listen. Can you help me?
No problem at all, sir. Finding them's usually the hard bit. Where do you presume she is?
I think she's joined a cult.
Like Lululemon?
No, a smaller one. They're called the Umlauts.
Oh, are they German?
No. They are hesitant, and there is a lot of them.
Seriously?
Deadly. And so are they. They're planning a mass suicide. Eventually.
Well then, I better move quick. Where do they meet?
One of the nastiest spots in town. That last dingy building on the edge of the highway.
Oh, God. Not the Arby's.
Sir, how can I take your order?
Shh, I'm undercover. Shut up.
Sir, if you're going to hang out here, you need to buy something.
Oh, fine. I'll take, oh, God, that all looks terrible. I'll take a Diet Coke.
Good evening, brother. Are you here for the Umlaut meeting?
Oh, yeah, I thought I'd, come check it out.
Great, come sit with us. We have plenty of food.
Oh, God, dear, no.
Sorry?
I mean, I just ate.
Well, take a brochure.
Oh, thanks. Ooh.
It tells you all about the mythical power of the Umlaut. Mm. Have you read about it before?
No, sorry.
It's very famous. Our leader was on Conan.
Oh, right, like on the Comedy Network.
No, Conan the Barbarian. He was an extra.
Oh, right.
Got stabbed.
By Conan?
No. Got in a fight in the catering tent. But you should hear him speak.
Right. I think my friend might be here. A girl by the name, Katie.
You mean Motorhead?
Pardon?
Well, everyone has to change their names to a name with an umlaut. I'm Blue Oyster Cult.
Oh, right. Is Motorhead around?
She's helping the leader with his preparations in his van.
Oh, dear.
It's nothing weird, just communicating with aliens through a tin hat. He's really good at it. All they ever say to me is, burn them all. Don't know what that means.
Right, well, I'll try and catch her in the van.
Okay, well, tell the aliens I'm buying a blowtorch tonight.
Oh, Lord Umlaut, tell me what to do through my lips.
You must love all women. Do not love only one. It is your destiny to bang, I mean love, them all.
Wow, that was an intense one.
You're so good at it. I can't believe you're 50 and still single.
It's a mystery. Now, Motorhead, we must form an umlaut with our genitals.
Mr. Leader?
What? Who's there? Who's interrupting sexy time? Spiritual time.
Hi, Mr. Leader? I'm Mr. Whiteless.
Call me Motley Crue.
Right, okay. Mr. Motley Crue, I'd like to have a word with, Motorhead, please.
No! I need her to hold my antenna.
Right, it'll only take a minute.
Fine. I'll just do some advanced yoga. It's amazing how flexible you can become when you're unemployed.
Motorhead, if you wouldn't mind stepping out?
As long as you don't try to remove my microchip.
I honestly didn't know you had one.
Of course. Every recruit gets one in her vaginal canal.
What?
Inserted by a trained professional.
Yeah, Motley does them.
You're a professional?
Yeah, well, you know, a jack of all trades.
He does anal antennas, too.
Only on anniversaries.
Not sure about him. He never looked me in the eye once. That's unusual for a man who's naked.
He isn't always naked. They won't let him in Arby's like that.
Why do they meet in Arby's?
Duh, because of the curly fries.
And why did you join them?
Because of the curly fries?
You joined a cult for curly fries.
Well, that and to piss off my dad. Hang on, who the fuck are you?
Sorry. I'm Mr. Whiteless. Your dad hired me to rescue you from the umlauts.
I don't need rescuing. I'm happy here.
Motorhead?
Yeah?
I need your help. I got the antenna stuck again.
No, fuck that. I'm going home.
I've never joined a cult. I prefer to start them. Next up tonight is an advert.
From the people who brought you Luba, the escort rideshare, the best-selling Scat Chat, and Finger, Tinder for teenagers, comes the latest app that will change your life a bit. Spitify, the only app where you can live stream saliva all day long. All your favorite loogies, gozzes, and spittle in one place for the first time. You can even make your own spray list and share your spit with your friends. Don't forget our couples package where you can swap spit all day long. Spitify, all your friends are doing it, so just do it until you can work out what's the point.
I was on Scat Chat, definitely thought it was about jazz music. There was nothing jazzy about that. Next up tonight, we return to my childhood in Blackmore. Baked beans, bat bacon and broken bones. Mum, where's the remote? Bake Off is on.
No telly tonight, we're going out.
What? What a flip, will we do that?
You're always staring at that shit box, your father or the telly. We're going out, do something educating.
Going where?
Bingo.
That's not educating, it's shit.
It is, it's got numbers.
Not all of them.
Most of them, and you can win money.
Money? What the fuck are we waiting for? Come on, move it.
Hang on, gotta finish me makeup.
You don't need makeup.
Aww.
Yeah, you're ugly either way.
Oh, piss off, you little slag.
6-0, blind 60.
Shit!
Almost there, 8-9, 89.
Ah, bollocks!
Can you not swear after every number?
All the twos, two little ducks, 22.
Quack!
Feck!
Thank you, Crackers. All the sixes. Clickety-click. 66.
Yes! Fuck yes! Yes! On your face! Yes!
You got a line?
No, one number. Four to go.
And our final game of the night is for the largest jackpot, which tonight stands at £13.
Ooh. Big one, Cheryl.
It's a big one tonight. Okay, first number is Two Fat Ladies, 88.
Wobble, wobble.
Thank you, Wobblers.
Are you making fun of me?
What?
I'm not fat, I'm musky. That's what size clothes I wear from that special shop.
That wasn't a slight on you, mate.
I know I'm not slight. No need to rub it in.
No, Thicko. That's not what I meant.
Oh, so I'm fat and stupid. What have I got to live for?
There, mate. I didn't mean to upset you. Where's your mum gone?
She went to help the barman change the barrel.
Oh, dear. Well, look here. Have a tenner. That'll cheer you up. Go buy a pie. Eat those feelings up.
Thanks. Cheers. I think I will. Maybe get a nice can of Guinness too.
Whatever makes the pain go away.
Ah, only kidding. Ah, thanks for the tenner, Mag.
What? Oi, you little...
I might be fat and my mum's a slag, but I'm certainly not stupid. I did keep that £10 note, and I bought my first CD with it, which was awesome, till I realised I don't own a CD player. Next up tonight, someone is inventing.
Hey, Rachel, what are you doing?
What does it look like? I'm trying to save the world.
Is this because of the kale fast you did last week?
No, that's why I'm wearing a diaper.
So what are you making?
Plant condoms.
Thought they smelled familiar, and yet slightly different.
I'm using hypoallergenic lube.
Why?
So they don't have allergic reactions? Do I have to spell everything out for you?
Plants have allergies?
Why do you think they die after people stomp all over them? They're allergic to the rubbers in your shoes.
That doesn't make sense.
Oh, it makes me so mad that they weren't exposed to these kinds of rubbers when they were saplings. Come on, people.
Right. So tell me, why do plants need condoms?
Well, I was reading this incredible poem called Homo Sapiens Burden, and it says that plants are basically backward savages, and it is our ethical responsibility to bring them closer to our modern way of life.
Oh, like what we did with the Kardashians.
It starts with education. By giving them these condoms and teaching them how to use them, we can help teach them about equality, respect, consent, not to mention gender norms, which we'll then have to tear down later.
I'm not following.
You know how it's spring, Ed, and all the flowers are coming into bloom?
Yeah.
Well, these flowers are basically reaching puberty and have become hormone-addled sluts. They open their pollens for anything that photosynthesizes and flaunt their seeds wherever they want. Sometimes they even use animals as surrogates. It's so awful.
Well, I think we should stop trying to humanize everything.
Do you want just random acorn trees growing everywhere? Or how about dogwood bushes on every corner? Besides, with all this pollen in the air, we're basically walking through an orgy, and my son has terrible hay fever because of it.
Oh, you have a son?
Yeah. Look, are you going to help, or are you going to just ask stupid questions all day?
Could I ask just one more stupid question? This poem you read, where did you find it?
Oh, it was in one of my favorite environmental magazines, The Onion.
I loved sex ed at high school. Still a huge fan, but the teachers said it was inappropriate for me still to be attending. Next up tonight, someone is praying.
Our jobs, who art in the cloud, hallowed be thy server.
Whoa, I don't think those are the words.
They are to my prayer, for my new religion.
You can't just start a new religion out of nowhere. You're not L. Ron Hubbard or Jesus.
I've always fancied myself more the Muhammad type.
You used to steal bottles of communion wine to sell outside of AA meetings.
So I wasn't the best altar boy, but I've been saved.
Saved by what?
The almighty grace of Big Data.
Just because you're a little disappointed in the job market for your arts degree doesn't mean you need to become a techno-evangelical.
No, no. This makes more sense than anything else I've ever done.
Even that time, you were sure you could be a better person by meditating and eating paleo.
Yes, this actually works. I give faith and 10% of my salary to the powers who actually control my life.
What do you mean?
You know how most religions are founded upon myth and patriarchal power systems?
Right.
My organization's beliefs are scientifically proven to be patriarchal. It's the atheist perfect religion.
That's ridiculous.
Is it? People have been burned at the stake for less.
Yes, but our witch tests have come a long way. We drown them now. You will not convince me that something a 22-year-old pulled out of his ass will lead to humanity's salvation.
I'm not trying to save humanity. We're fucked. I just want my brain circuitry to be downloaded so I can live forever in the eternal hard drive when everyone else is wiped.
Whoa. I've just realized this second that I've always wanted that!
Yeah! You even get a free iPhone 8 pre-order if you're baptized in the fountain of circuitry!
Okay, I'm down. I really hate my Samsung Note, and I'm pretty sure it does too, as it keeps blowing itself up.
Then join me in humble devotion to the benevolent CEOs of San Francisco.
Fine.
Our jobs, who art in the cloud, hallowed be thy server. Thy monopoly come, thy will be done. In the third world, as it is in Silicon Valley. Give us this day our daily Wi-Fi, and forgive us our trolling, as we forgive those who troll against us. Lead us not into Pornhub, but deliver us from 4chan. Amen.
Ah, kid, who arts in play school, Harry be his name. See, it's fun to piss off religion. That's the end of our show. Join us again for more White Noise. Ah.
White Noise was written and directed by Simon Welton, starring the voice talents of Connor Neckleput, Sierra Wiley, Caitlin Docking, Nick Rinker, and Simon Welton.
Guest writing by Connor Neckleput and Sierra Wiley.
All right, there you go. That was the White Noise Show. I hope you enjoyed that half hour of sketch comedy. There will be more comedy the same time next week. Actually, no. There isn't. That's a lie. Next week, we've got a week off.
Yeah, you tend to do that.
I tend to do that. I do tend to do that. We do have a week off next week.
Well, that's both lying and taking a week off.
But we will be back the week after with a best-of special. And then the week after will be a brand new episode. So tune in for those. But don't go anywhere now because it's time for the White Noise After Show, which, of course, means it's time for a bit of debate and a bit of wicked music. So we're going to start off with a bit of wicked music and come back with some kick-ass debate. So I hope you enjoy that. Go to the washroom, do what you got to do. Me, Connor and Sierra will be waiting for you when you get back. This is Pack AD with Los Angeles.
Climbing my picture.
All right, there we go. That was Flesh Prison by Teenage Weddings off The Great Sadness. It was a bit sad, that song.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, let's get on with it. Our first topic tonight, guys, bit of local-ish news. Jimmy Patterson, Mr. BC, has donated $75 million of his personal fortune to fund the Vancouver St. Paul's Hospital. And so our question here is he a saint, or do we have to take into account perhaps some of the less sort of, tasteful tactics but that he's sort of used in his years to get to where he is? Because, you know, you don't become a billionaire without at least being a bit of a shark. Like, you've got to be a bit of a, you know. Like, you've screwed a few people over. Because, you know, another great example is someone like Bill Gates, who, yes, now is very
charitable
with his money, but Microsoft were renowned for just, like, absolutely destroying the competition through rather unsavory tactics. And apparently there's lots of talk of, like, Jimmy Patterson in the early days especially. You worked for one of his companies, like, at the dealerships. If you were the worst salesman in the month, you got kicked out, basically. Like, it was that ruthless.
Meritocracy, yeah.
And so, yeah, do we, you know, people that have, like, exploited everybody else to make that much wealth, and then they decide to give a little bit of it, you know, still more than any of us would make in a lifetime, but he decides to give that away. Does that make him a saint, or what do we think?
Well, I struggle to speak in completely, like, specific terms about this because I'm not super familiar with his work and his history. But I think in general, it's you can't, like, quite put people on this dichotomy of either being a saint or a sinner. I think that, you know, it's good that there seems to be some charitable aspect to his fortune. And, you know, you always hope that people who have that money can kind of give back and share the love a little bit. But I think we should be cautious about completely lauding him up as a hero, because that gives him a total free pass to get by with a lot. Like, I know Simon has talked about Jimmy Savile before and, like, all of his charity.
Hey, let's not compare these two people.
Not in that way. Sorry, I just mean in the way.
For those
that,
who don't know, Jimmy Savile was one of the most notorious paedophiles in British history.
You had to let everyone know that because they were ignorant.
Well, they had to know. They wanted to know what the reaction was about.
But. Okay. I'm not trying to compare the two. I'm just trying to say that in the way that we can frame certain people because of their good deeds, it can limit our understanding of them as an entire person. And when someone's in a public profile, it can be, to a certain degree, like, simple for them to put on a very positive show.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. Like, we, you know, you can pull up lots of examples. People like Mother Teresa, who was a saint in some people's eyes, but apparently treated a lot of poor people quite badly when she got the chance to, you know, literally beating people. And, you know, she was doing it in the name of God, and they were sinners, and all the rest of the reasons nuns have used over the years to abuse those people in their care. So, yeah, it's interesting how people can have such a widespread sort of popular opinion of them, but, like all of us, are a much more complex character.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like in this case, like, it has to be commendable for him to donate so much money. Again, as you said, like, more than we'd ever earn, and then think to donate to a hospital, which seems like, of all the places to donate, and I'm sure he's donated money to other causes, seems like a reasonable,
yeah,
like,
you can't really
things.
Complain. I'm pretty sure it's, yeah, for, like, cancer research or something especially. So it's really, like, who's going to get mad about,
yeah,
that?
But can we like, sort of, like, objectively, even subjectively say that any person is, like, just good or bad? Mm-hmm. Of course, like, everyone has actions which we tend to judge as either being good, bad, or, like, sort of harmless. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it takes one good act to redeem someone who's been a bit of a dick for the 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, I know Jimmy personally is apparently quite a religious person, and I think that's partly why he feels, you know, he's quite dedicated to his charitable work.
Which is why he didn't donate to GVA.
Because he's from, I think he's from Penticton, or he lived in Penticton, and my mum's pastor actually is, like, knows him quite well. And apparently, yeah, he is one of those people that if you do know him and you happen to mention that you're in some sort of trouble of any sort, he's the first guy to pull out a check and, you know, whatever it is to help you out.
I just think it's a shame that we can so easily see people who have so much money behind their name as heroes, because the percentage of their wealth that they're able to share can be like such a significant dollar amount, but it's not going to destroy them personally to do so. Whereas there can be a lot of people who live like a very charitable, very generous lifestyle, but it's never going to be recognized in the same way because it's just not going to be have that huge dollar amount. I just think it's a bit of a shame that generosity is known in that sort of way.
Yeah, it's a very good point. Very good point. You know, some people could be donating 50% of their livelihood every month, but because it doesn't add up to 75 million, it doesn't register.
Exactly.
And is it better to be sort of like, think of it more consequentialist, where like the hospital got 75 million, so that has to be a good thing, or more in terms of what was actually sacrificed? Because if he's got buckets load of 75 million sitting around and he donated, if that wasn't difficult to him, then was it really moral of like for him to do it? If it didn't take any sacrifice, then...
Yeah,
it's an easy.
I mean, the guy does work apparently like 70, 80 hours a week. Like he is, you know, he's a workaholic, which is partly how he's gotten to where he is. It's always hard to say like how much of that did he actually earn. It's not like he's going out and shoveling 8 hours a day for that money. Like, you know, does fly around in private jets, and basically what he does now is he's a consultant, and like he owns all these businesses, and each quarter they go to the business, say. Because my dad works for Sunripe, so he actually has contact with him, and they come in and they're actually quite hands off. If you're good and you know what you're doing, they'll just say, "All right, just tell us what the reports are. If the reports are good, we're happy. But if you need some help, we're here to give you help. But it's okay to say no. But then the number's got to be correct, otherwise you're in trouble." So you know, his job in a lot of ways is quite an abstract one now. Which should be at 88, you know. I mean, I'm amazed he's still working. I don't think I'd be doing that at 88.
I didn't realize quite how old he was.
Oh, yeah.
Does that not just seem a bit like he's just hedging his own bets?
He's just, yeah, he's trying to get into heaven now.
So yeah, I was going to say.
But also, like, if he gets sick, like, you know which hospital he's going to.
Oh, no, he's going to Geneva, some like very exclusive hospital, I think. But, you know, he's not going to be down VGH getting an IV, is he? Like,
he's going to be an East Van at the free injection site.
What?
Helps to fight his leukemia.
All right, I think that's time for a song. all right, next up, we're going to play some Twanda. It'll be played before. They're pretty kick-ass, so enjoy this one.
All right, there we go. That was Tawanda with Hedonism off Divorce. Off Plaything, rather. It's good. I love Tawanda.
It's a good one, yeah. I mean, and Japanese Girls before that.
No, Japanese Girls is coming up.
I apologize. Well, then get into it.
Yeah, there was a teaser there for later in the show. All right.
You said Divorce.
next topic, I'm going to pick one now. Let's go with when is a cult a religion? Don't all jump in at once.
Immediately I'm drawn to a sort of objective numerical analysis.
Oh, yeah.
Like once it surpasses a certain threshold of, let's just say, 10,000 people or adherents.
But then you're saying there's really nothing except numbers to the difference between a cult and a religion?
I think along with numbers comes a level of like almost like bureaucratic like norms. Like you begin to establish traditions. So it's like Christianity, whatever. You go to church for mass. The pastor does like the rituals. Mm-hmm. It all becomes kind of standardized across the different churches. And but the pastor, priest might say different sermons per different place.
Right.
And they might have slightly different interpretations per church.
Yeah.
I'm certainly not comparing between like Protestant and Catholic. But
To be honest, I think it's a lot grayer than that. I don't really think there is except a cultural acceptance of a group and their practices as a established religion.
Yeah,
that's
what
really
I'm
the only big
get
difference.
Is like the numbers and the norms, they build a certain legitimacy.
But it's not even about the numbers, because there can be, you know, only 5 Buddhists in a city in Canada, and it wouldn't mean that Buddhists weren't or even on a wider scale, if there was only a couple of people of a certain denomination that was seen in other countries as being credible, I think it would be accepted.
Yeah, that's because you know in other countries it's credible. Like
right.
Scientology, even though it's like in other countries, doesn't make it credible.
Well, it's not credible here.
But it's still seen as a religion.
Yeah, exactly, because like it has a like,
well,
because
they sued the shit out of the government until it was.
Do you want to jump in here?
Yeah, I would say that there's a very fuzzy line between the two, but I think that cult has a more negative connotation.
Oh, totally.
And I think that people on the outside are going to define what it is, kind of like what you said, Simon, but that no one who's personally involved in some organization wants to say they're in a cult. It's probably just, you know, a meeting that they go to once a week or a group of people that they have a really great community with. And
do you want to come to a meeting with me?
But if they believe in a philosophy which is based around, religious or even just ideological tenets, but it's not a political group, then it would, you know, it's in theory it's trying to be a religious group. And I just feel like the only thing, like, it becomes very sort of blurred, this line, though. Really, the only thing that seems to separate them is if something's been established long enough that it has credibility.
Yes, it's about building like a certain legitimacy, right? Over time that society begins to go, it's been around long enough. I guess that's good enough.
But that to me seems so arbitrary.
I don't think there is a numerical value, but...
And then I think as you kind of take away from the legitimacy of certain long-standing religious traditions, they almost become more cult-like as we become more removed from them and we become less of a theocratic Western society. We can view it more as a sort of cult-like following.
Yeah, I think there's something to be said for that too.
So you think that eventually religions will be seen as cults?
I think in the past 200 years or so, Western society has become a lot more agnostic or atheist, a lot more separated, like since the Enlightenment, really. Church and state, that's been a kind of a fundamental pillar. The separation of the two has been very important to Western societies. And I think that we've become removed from everyday religious life and that becoming like a predominant value in most households. Of course, it varies from country to country. But what I'm getting at is I think that a lot of society has become separated from religion, and that has allowed us to kind of view it from a distance with like having this lens to view religion through. And we're viewing it as a little more radical for if we have peers that are quite religious.
So what you're trying to say is we're not looking through stained glass tinted glasses anymore.
But this is the thing is, yes, of course, the atheists and perhaps the agnostics aren't going to defend religion and because there's nothing for them there, in a sense. But I do think that you would get quite the resistance from everybody else if you started to try and label the religions as cults. And I'm looking at this as someone who is an atheist, and, you know, personally, I feel religion causes more problems in our world than it seems to solve, because it's meant to provide this moral code, but this moral code has just been bastardized to fight wars and to oppress people and to, you know, basically force people's beliefs onto other people. And so there's a lot of negativity that comes out of it. There is also positivity. There's charity and there's all these things like that, but they can still exist, and they do exist regardless of whether we have religion. So, you know, it's just a sort of way of organizing your charitable work and things like that. But there's no reason you can do that on a Sunday anyway without wasting an hour of it sitting in a church thinking about a religion. But I do think that it's going to be very hard to ever actually force, you know, because I mean, I personally think it is bizarre that they don't pay tax and yet they're allowed to basically operate as a business and purchase things and own land and all those things that everyone else, if they had a club, if they were, you know, you open a chess club or, you know, whatever your interest is, you would still have to pay tax on that and do everything as everybody else does. And yet they have, tax freedom. I mean, what do you guys think? Do you think tax freedom for religion is right?
Seems a bit dubious. I'll say that.
I don't think it should be the case. I mean, like, my sisters went to Catholic school when we lived in the States, and they got a much worse education. But, you know, the school was still able to operate paying so little, right? And they were making a profit off their students while giving them a shitty education. And I think that's such a shame. And so many people I knew were going to these private Catholic high schools because it was supposed to be higher morality. You know, they're supposed to give these kids better values. You know, put them in uniforms and have them. I know all
well,
of
the Catholic kids I knew were pretty nuts in Kelowna.
Exactly.
Saying, but,
it made them all go crazier. And, like, I remember there was this guy I was dating in middle school who went to the Catholic school, and he said something quite profound, which just stuck with me to this day. He goes, "When they try to drill a hole through your head, all that's left is that hole." And like, yeah.
Okay, I think that's a great line to leave this discussion on. We'll be back after this. We're going to play some Japanese girls now,
Japanese
Connor.
Girls.
This is Oh My God.
Oh my God! You're finally calling me nurse!
There we go. That was Japanese Girls with Oh My God. That was fun, wasn't
it? Yeah, it's actually a great local Vancouver band. Really energetic, really fun. I'd be really delighted to see them sometime soon if they're around.
They played the rock scene not long ago. Played a free gig. You missed it.
I didn't know that. Well, let me know when the next free gig is, and then I'll go.
I think I saw the post the day after. So
But yeah, like, really awesome band. Check out their album, Divorce.
Yeah, definitely. All right, last topic probably of the night. We'll see how the time goes. So something that's coming up soon this time of year for universities is, of course, graduation. And with that is the fanfare of the graduation ceremony. So our question is it worth going?
Is it worth a graduating student to attend their graduation?
The ceremony, yes. Obviously, you get your diploma anyway, and you graduate and you get all the things that you get on your resume/CV.
It seems like a shame to duck out of any kind of like pageantry or it's a milestone, right? It's like it is essentially the ending of a chapter of your life. Like once you're at university, once you graduated, you might go back into your master's program, mm-hmm. or you might not, or you might go back to school. Like, there's so many things that could happen. It seems like a nice just to like throw a little bash, just like a little something.
Right, you could still celebrate, go out with your mates, have a drink. But the pageantry,
but too.
The pageantry, you know, it's a bit like going to a pep rally. It's just bollocks. Like it's not for you. It's I don't know, it's garbage.
Well, the pep rally, I agree with you, but I do think the graduation is kind of for like the folks who come and they're like, oh, this is nice. Yeah. This is good university.
I mean, I'm going to go to mine because my mum wants me to, and she said she'd be furious if I didn't go. So that's my reason for going, which is to make her happy. Sierra, would you go?
I don't know, because I remember like my high school graduation ceremony, and it almost felt like a university graduation ceremony because my high school
had high schools are so overblown here, or
oh no, in Chicago it was 1,000 people graduating, and we were in the university gym of one of the local universities, and
outrageous.
It seemed like very ceremonial. And but I think like whenever I'm at part of those like large scale school ceremonies, I feel so awkward because I feel like I'm part of a group that I'm never actually part of actively throughout my university career, because it's like we'll be graduating with people we've probably never seen before. And I think there's a difference when, you know, you have some sort of sense of camaraderie, and maybe if you've got a very small program and, you know, you feel like a sense of community with these people. But I don't know, like the only people I know in my major are ones that just happen to be studying the same ones of the same thing that I am, and I just know them, right? Connor and I both study international relations. But
and sadly, we're not even graduating at the same time.
I know.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like it would be strange. I'll probably still go because I like celebrations, but I'd almost rather just sort of have a party with my friends.
Yeah. Let's go back to the high school thing. That perplexed me here because graduating high school isn't hard.
No.
You know, even if you don't want to go to university and you just want to graduate, you just need to do like English 12 and a few electives. And that's about like a basic math course that's very simple. Like it's not difficult, to be honest. Mm-hmm. It's not difficult to graduate high school. And yet we act like it's fantastic, and they have a prom and all these things. And it's like, guys, like get some perspective. Yeah, university, finish a university degree, fair dues. You work pretty hard. If you want to celebrate that by putting on a stupid hat and a gown, which you would never wear at any other time in your entire life, whatever, that's tradition. But high school to me, just I don't get it.
You're just so, you don't like
bollocks.
No ceremony or anything like anything that's trying to make something
that is false.
More
it's
meaningful it, than like it
feels
it,
like a facade.
Because Simon's an individual.
No, because Simon. No.
Yes, I am one person. Well done for noticing.
No, it's just funny because like I get the impression that like yeah, in most situations. You look at something, and you do judge it on merit, which is great. But when you see something that's more pomp and it's a bit more like bougie or whatever than something deserves, I get the impression you kind of like, that's pointless.
Yeah, pretty well.
Opening
ceremonies for the Olympics, that's bollocks. I think that's a stupid waste of money. And you know, I'm like, go do the sports. That's what we're here for. That's what we're all trained for. We didn't train to watch a million people choreography dance in the biggest stadium
but
in the world.
No one's making you
Nobody
watch
cares.
That.
Nobody cares. Why do you care?
No, but you see them all.
You
I'm
care
sure,
enough to watch.
I'm sure they might not want to
you
be
can't
there, but they're
miss
waving.
It.
I didn't
and
watch
the crowd's
it.
Crowd's really excited.
Like,
You know, like, I agree. Is it worth the money? I don't know. But, like, people having a good time, it adds a little bit of extra something to the ceremony.
But, yeah, I mean, the high school ones annoyed me the most, though. Like, the pep rallies and stuff was such tribalism, such bollocks. Like, oh, it was awful.
But we love participation trophies in North America. We want to tell everyone that they're really good and pat them on the back when they're not.
But it's not even that. It's let's get, all get here so we can pat some jocks on the back when they go off to play basketball or football or whatever god-awful sport they're playing this week.
Oh, yeah, pep rallies were the worst. But my principal was a really good dancer, so that was the only thing that redeemed them.
Yeah, when the pep rallies get kind of
funny. Was your headmaster Ellen DeGeneres? Is that what happened?
Yeah, pretty much. Actually, I went to the high school from Glee. I was in the marching band. There were pep rallies. The football team ran through a blow-up wildcat.
No.
I am 100% serious.
Oh, that's awful.
I agree with that, though. I think that is a bit
literally
weird.
Our principal danced to the Black Eyed Peas in front of 4,000 high school students.
Another shit thing they do at high school here. Air band. Have a fucking real band competition. What the fuck
is air band? Actually, like a group of like a competition for like
it's a competition
four,
of people miming
just, like,
to songs.
No way.
Yeah, weird. It's an actual like
that's
every
bullshit.
Year. It's a big deal. Air band is coming. I'm like, are you serious?
You sure they just haven't let you in on the joke?
Yeah.
No.
wouldn't that be
they
the
do
greatest
just to wind
thing?
You up.
Our annual let's piss off
just
Simon
troll
Melton.
The new English bloke.
Nobody tell him. This is gonna be hilarious.
Very creative way to bully someone.
All his friends to do the air banding so that he feels super left out.
Oh, I can't think of anything worse, man.
Well,
I
was actually part of air band while in marching band. Before we memorized our music, we would just hold air instruments.
I was in Navy band.
Navy band?
Well, Sincere was in air band. You're probably an army band, aren't you?
Dear God.
It's like a collective facepalm right there.
I can't end on that, Connor. I was about to end then. I can't end on that joke. Jesus.
Well, you're funny. What's the play some music.
Oh dear, yeah, sod it. All right, we'll be back next week. No, we won't be back next week. We'll be back the week after with the best of, and the week after we have a brand new show. So tune in at least for one of them, or both of them if you've not got any life.
Or one of them.
but otherwise, have a lovely fortnight, and we'll see you soon. Coming up now is Lou Cannon, and this is Steady Flow off Suspicious. I think, yeah, it's off Suspicious. Enjoy.
With a chair that's empty too. The clocks aren't holding
like the last hour.
The time that's holding you.
I'm
broken